Lemonada.
Hello, friends. Before we get started, we wanted to thank you for your support and explain why this episode is different from the others. We were so overwhelmed by the support for the letter that we decided to release episode 3 early on Friday. But we still wanted to drop something in your feed on our regular Tuesday release day, so we're giving you a sneak peek into the world of bonus episodes. These episodes are usually only available when you subscribe to Lemonada Premium through Apple Podcasts. You can get all the bonus content offered by Lemonada in the Apple Podcast app by clicking on our podcast logo and then click the subscribe button. We hope you enjoy this little extra. And again, we cannot thank you enough for all of your love and support for our podcast. Hi, this is Amy Donaldson, host of The Letter. And today, I'm taking you to church. Let me explain. In the summer of 2021, I ran into an old friend. And I told her about the podcast I'd been working on for nearly 3 years, The Letter. A couple of days later, she called and asked if I thought Sai Snar, the mother in the podcast whose son was killed, would speak to a group of women from her church about forgiveness. She, like Sai, is a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I said I'd pass on the invitation. Sai was willing to speak to the women, but she had a condition, that I speak at the gathering with her. I was reluctant for a few reasons, but especially because, while I was raised a Latter-day Saint, I haven't practiced in nearly 32 years. I thought it might be a little odd for me to speak at a church meeting. But both women assured me this would not be an issue, and what they wanted from me was a little insight on why this story resonated with me. So that's what you're about to hear. A little behind the scenes and some hints about what's to come in the podcast. The meeting took place in September of 2021 in a multi-purpose room at an LDS church in Salt Lake City. Sai spoke first, and we'll share her remarks in future bonus content. Then I addressed the room of about 50 women.
I have so many thoughts. First, let me say how I found out about this story. I mean, I knew Sai. I covered crime and corrections when Zachary was killed. I was not actually on the beat the night he was killed, so someone else actually wrote about his murder. But I wrote some follow-up stories, and we just connected these dots. Sat in her living room with her and did a story about what it was like to go through the first holidays, the first birthday, the first Christmas after you lose somebody, especially in sort of an unexpected and a violent way where you kind of are filled with these questions about why is this happening to me? And I think it's important for you to understand that in the 90s, we were using the death penalty pretty aggressively. 7 people were sentenced to die in the 90s, which is more in the rest of the decades in modern Utah history, since the death penalty has been back. That's the most we've ever sentenced to die. In the same decade, we actually executed 3 people, also the most. That was a very real possibility in their case. And had they pushed it, George would have been on death row. I don't think there's any doubt about it. You can listen to the podcast for all those details. But so I found out about it from a friend of mine who was a running friend. And the woman who delivered the letter is actually his aunt. And he said, you got to do a podcast on this story. And I just started podcasting in 2016. And I was a print reporter for most of my career. And we'd been talking about podcasts we loved and kind of some goals we wanted to do. And I had no interest in doing a crime podcast. I said, I'm going to do something about running, and I'm going to do some stuff with veterans. I had all these other goals. And he sent me the letter that his aunt wrote about taking the leader to church the weekend, the Sunday after George killed Zachary. And I was sobbing, and I said, I don't know what I need. I didn't even think I need to write this story or I need to make a podcast. I just thought, I need to know these people. And I prayed about it and I said, you know, God, I feel really lucky. I have had the greatest job my entire life. my job is my church, because I learn, I'm inspired. People that I've met have made me a better parent. They made me a better person. And I read this letter and I just thought, I need to know how the story goes. I need to know. So I like put it off. I looked up Sai's phone number, which I was surprised I could find it so easily, but, she lived in the same house and I thought about going to her house and like, should I take her some flowers? Like, how should I get her to talk to us? And I actually just reached out to the woman who delivered the letter. And I said, I'm interested in talking to her about maybe doing a story or a podcast or something, but I really just want to talk to you. So I brought sandwiches and we talked and we sort of all liked the idea, but I just was really upfront with this, that I didn't really know what I wanted from them. I just needed to know them and know this story. And I think it was at the time still really unfolding. She'd just gotten the letter a few months earlier and it had been a miracle. And we did an interview. We did a sit-down interview in my little studio I made in my house. Was my stepson's old bedroom with blankets hanging around and my dogs kenneled out, like, shh, don't, everyone have a treat so we can be quiet. It was just, I can't even tell you that 2 hours was just, I felt in my soul, this is what this is not an accident. And then she broke my heart a month or two later and said, I changed my mind, I don't want to do it. And the woman who delivered the letter said, I changed my mind, I don't want to do it either. And the only person who was willing to do it was a woman who'd survived the shooting.
We'll be right back after this message from our sponsors. So anyone who knows me knows that one of my missions in life is finding clothing that is professional and comfortable. But when it comes to fashion, I am, shall we say, wardrobe challenged. And that's why I am so excited to tell you about Quince. Quince has given those of us who've worked from home for so long, we have no idea what's actually in style anymore, help and hope. I am anxiously awaiting delivery of my black Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater. It's just $50. And my adorable olive linen jumper. Quince makes it easy to find stylish, high-quality items, even on a journalist budget. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than you'd find with similar luxury brands. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/theletter for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/theletter to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/theletter.
I prayed about it a lot and I just said, you know what? I'm just going to talk to people and keep this open. I believe ideas come to you for a reason, and people, my mom and I always talk about, because I'm a person who uses prayer like for everything. I lost my keys. Come on, God, help me out. Where are my keys? You know where I left them. My husband doesn't know, but you know. And so I joke a lot about that. Praying to me is very like a, I don't always treat it, I think, with the, I think, reverence that it maybe demands at times. And I just had some experiences where I felt like, just do your job and be open to the possibilities and keep talking to people. And maybe when you have time, do a little research. So I did like one interview every 3 months and I talked to the lawyer who represented George. I called them and they were like in shock. They couldn't believe this happened. One of the lawyers said to me, of all the clients I've represented, I never imagined this would be, that this would happen. And I said, well, will you do an interview? Come to my house. And so I just interviewed slowly over time. And then I didn't really know what I was doing. And I got to this point and you know, the year of COVID was really hard. I wrote a lot about people who lost someone to COVID and people whose lives were changed because they got long COVID syndrome, or I was down on the Navajo Nation 3 different times and people lost their businesses, and I just, And then there were a lot of I was covering protests all the time, and it just felt every day just felt like a lot of pain. And I just kept thinking about this story all the time. And I said, you know, I don't know if I'm the person that's supposed to tell this story or help be a part of this, but I just need to know how it ends. And I remember going on a hike with some friends, and I told them the story that what I knew at the time, which was, you know, the first 30% of the story that's in the podcast now. And they were mesmerized. And I mean, it got us through like 7 miles of uphill Pfeifferhorn. I don't know if any of you have ever done that, but it's really hard. And it was snowy and it was a slog. And these were all guys that are all tough guys, and they were all silent and completely emotional. And they said, "We really hope you get to do that story. We got to know how it is." And I said, I do too. But you know, if I never get to publish it, like, I just am so grateful God brought it into my life, because I needed this. I needed that. It was like my little life preserver through 2020. Like, I'll work on this stuff that I have to do, and I want to give it everyone I write about my very best, and put myself in their shoes. And so I try to open my heart as much as possible. But this really, like, I even was telling my boss the other day, there's just no journalistic separation between me and the story anymore. Like, it is like I dream about it. I don't even try to be like, I'll just work on something. If I feel compelled to work on this, I work on this. It has been the most uplifting thing I've ever, and I have been so lucky. So many people have trusted me with their stories. I waited 5 years for a story once, and it was worth every year that I waited, because I feel like the stories, they find their way to be told when they need to be told. In running, we have this saying, the trail gives you what you need when you need it. And I feel that way about these stories that we all look, that we need and that we share with each other. They find their way to the person who needs them when they need them most. And I will say, I do think when I pray, I always expect like God to be like, instantly, there's your keys, you know, so, or like, I have this problem. Oh my gosh, that's the solution. So easy. And it's usually 2 or 3 or 4 years go by and I go, oh, that's why I had to deal with that. And, one of the lessons I've learned from this is to be patient, because we are the answer to each other's prayers. Whether we know it or not, God doesn't come down and bake dinner for your sick neighbor. You do that. And you do that because you felt like, oh, you know, I know she doesn't feel well, and she's probably eating microwave dinners. You do that because God sends you a little nudge to think about someone else. So I just feel like this story is so much more miraculous than even Cy has let on. There's so many ways in which we are connected, and that if any one person had decided not to listen to the little nudge that God was giving them, none of this would have happened. And it's a miracle that a person who lived in max security for 17 years would ever become the human being that she knows and loves. It's a miracle that she has embraced him and his family the way she has. I've had the miracle of forgiveness in my own life, and I know that resentment is a poison that you drink hoping the other guy dies. But yeah, I think we've all been there. And I don't think it's an unreasonable response to want to hurt the people that hurt us. And if someone took from me my children, who I love just as much as Cy loves her beautiful kids, I don't think I would want to do anything except an eye for an eye. I don't think anything would feel fair. And that's what we as human beings do. And I think what I've learned from Cy and Ron and their kids, I've met Sydney, is actually, we've roped almost everyone Cy knows into the podcast now. but every person has added just an unbelievable element of love. And again, this, like, what? That domino, just the little puzzle pieces that fit together that we had no idea fit together. But it's had a profound impact on me as a journalist, but and as a person who wants to make something, put something out in the world. I remember somebody saying years ago in journalism, you know, what do you want to do? You want to win the Pulitzer? Or do you want to, you know, win this? Or do you want to get on the front page? And I said, I want to make, when I'm gone, I want people to say, you know what? I was better because I read that story she wrote. My life was better because of the art that she made. And I feel like most of my life I failed at that. There have a few times I feel like God basically took control of the keyboard and, okay, let's do this together. And this is one of them. And I feel like this will make people's lives better. What I have learned is to trust the story and to trust that there are people who need to hear a story that I feel compelled to chase and hound someone into doing. And we don't know who those people are, and we don't know what difference it's going to make. But I know I have seen it happen over and over in my career, and I just trust it now, almost without thinking about it.
We'll be right back after this break. If you enjoyed this show, please consider In the Blood, hosted by actor Ben McKenzie. It's the chilling story of a man named Ronald Trimboli, who was convicted of a 1985 triple murder in Texas. But he insists he didn't do it. He had an alibi, no history of violence, and it seemed almost impossible to imagine that the crime could have been committed by a single person. But one thing did link Ronald Trimboli to the crime scene, his DNA. Is Ronald Trimboli a monstrous murderer of three teenagers, or the victim of a string of bad luck, bad judgment, and a big mouth? In the Blood asks you, the listener, to sit on a jury where all of the evidence, including some never presented to real jurors, will be shared. It's a case that echoed through the decades, multiple trials, and evolving DNA science. Check out In the Blood wherever you get your podcasts. And don't miss the trailer at the end of this episode.
And the last thing I'll share with you is something that I shared with Ron and Sai earlier. Yesterday, I had to put down one of my dogs, and I think about this. I've had this experience a couple of times recently. What would you want your last day to be? And I think about that with my dogs, like, oh, I have to take them on a hike so they go to their favorite trail and they get ice cream, and they, you know, have to do all your favorite things in 24 hours. I think this comes from, I have a daughter who was born with a congenital heart defect, and when she had her open heart surgery at 11 months, I was terrified that she was not going to make it. And I felt like we had to live all our lives in the 3 months that I had before I knew she was going to have surgery. And so I did all this nutty stuff and tortured my husband and my children, and I regretted every minute of it because it was just... She just wanted to be with me. She didn't care about going to Disneyland and all the stuff I made us do. She was like, you know, why is my mom dragging me all over and doing, we have to have photos and we have to do, and my kid was just like, just be with me. Let's just have a tea party. And when I was with my dog yesterday, I just thought, he doesn't want to go on a walk. I'm like dragging him around the neighborhood and it's hot and his tongue's hanging out. And I thought, you know, what would you want your last day to be? Because you don't know when it's going to be for most of us. And I thought about Zach's last day, and he did a kind thing for his mom. He expressed his love for the people who were most important to him. He made his sister laugh. He gave everyone something joyful to remember, to hold on to. And he didn't know it was his last day. And he enjoyed a beautiful place with people, with a person that he cared about. And I thought, if that's my last day, I'm gonna be so grateful that everything about my day, all the people who know me and love me say, oh yeah, she called me that day. Oh yeah, she waved at me from her truck like a nut job, you know? And it just made me calm down yesterday about my dog and just hold my dog and love my dog and think, you know what? You live all these other, I always say the game isn't decided on the last free throw taken. It's all the other plays that lead up to that moment. You focus on that end, but you have all this other time to do all these other amazing things. And you have to trust that you lived a good life. And I think that maybe is what I've learned most from Zach is just do the right thing when you can. And that's what people will remember from you, you know, not, oh my gosh, he skydived on his last day. You know what I mean? You always feel like it has to be big and sensational. Maybe it has to be that you cleaned the kitchen for your mom. And I thought if I did a kindness for my mom and made my sister laugh and made my dad feel special, I would think that was a great send off. I would be happy about that. I'm grateful to the Snores for just letting me torture them. You have no idea how many interviews. I don't even know how many interviews we've done at this point. I'm grateful that I get to work on this podcast and to know all the people involved. I mean, seriously, every interview for the first, 12 interviews was a sob session. I think I've interviewed one person who didn't cry at this point because it is, as one of the attorneys said, this case and what has happened is a life-changing experience to know and to be a part of. It's called The Letter. That's the name of the podcast.
If you're interested in hearing more bonus content like this, you can subscribe to Lemonada Premium. You can subscribe right now in the Apple Podcast app by clicking on our podcast logo and then click the subscribe button. The Letter is researched and reported by me, Amy Donaldson. It's written by myself and Andreas Martin, who is also responsible for production and sound design. With KSL Podcasts, executive producer Cheryl Worsley. For Lemonada Media, executive producers Jessica Cordova Kramer and Stephanie Whittles Wax. And executive producers Paul Anderson and Nick Pinella with Workhouse Media. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com and on social at The Letter Podcast. The Letter is produced by KSL Podcasts and Lemonada Media in association with Workhouse Media.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out on April 24th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Join us on Archetypes, a dynamic podcast hosted by Megan, the Duchess of Sussex, as she digs into the labels that try to hold women back. In each intimate and candid conversation, Megan is joined by guests like Serena Williams, Mariah Carey, Paris Hilton, Issa Rae, and Trevor Noah as they delve into the roots of countless common descriptors of women, like diva, crazy, dumb blonde, and the B word, and redefine and reclaim each identity along the way. The complete season of Archetypes is out now wherever you get your podcasts.